Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Tonight is one of the more special services that we have. And this Sunday starts Advent. And I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you help me to deliver this message in the way that you gave it. Lord, help us to understand who and why and what you are so we can understand who we are. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This starts Advent. We'll be lighting the first candle tonight, and we'll be lighting one every Sunday, and there'll be a different family doing it, and we try to choose families that maybe you don't know yet, or maybe that's been here for a while and you haven't seen them up front in a while. But anyway, we work at that. But what does Advent mean? Advent is a Latin word for the coming of Christ, the advent of Christ. So we as Christians look forward to the coming of Christ. Well, why is it Latin? Why not Greek? Because most of the scripture we have today was translated out of a Latin Bible called the Vulgate. There are very few Greek manuscripts anywhere. Matter of fact, the oldest one that's out there, and it's just a portion, a small portion, is of Philemon. The Old Testament was wrote in Hebrew. And the oldest copies of the Hebrew Bible we had went back to about 87 AD until they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that set them back another 1,000 years. But what happened was, there was a fellow by the name of Jerome, and he had about 50 other people that worked with him, and they worked out of a monastery in Bethlehem, and he brought together all of the Greek writings that they had, because everyone had to copy them from one to another, from one to another. And they had scribes that did that in the Jewish groups, and the scribes made sure that every comma and period and emphasis was just perfect. And the Greek was an almost perfect language. So when God put it together in the Greek, he put it together so that you couldn't misunderstand it. But there were some 400 versions of the Greek manuscripts, many of them that Jerome had. So he sat down with those who worked with him before computers or anything, and he combed over all of these manuscripts, and he came together with where they were, 20 of them were the same, or 10 were the same, and this one had a little political view in it, and the other had a little city boss view in it, and another had, and he was able to compile those. And when Luther translated the Bible into German, he translated it out of Latin. And when the New King James Version was written, most of that was actually translated out of the German that Luther had written. The rest from the Latin Vulgate. So we use a lot of Latin terms, and Advent is one of those. I just thought you might want to know that, so you know the difference between Advent and Lent. Jesus coming. Why did Jesus come, and why did he even need to come? And when did he plan on coming? And when was this plan put together? And if we understand those things, then we'll understand better what salvation is. So let me start in Ephesians chapter 1, because that's where it starts. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Before there was a world, before there was an Adam and Eve, before the foundation, the creation of the world, he chose us in him. God knew what he was about, and he knew what he was going to do and why he was going to do it. He knew that Adam and Eve would fall because he made them out of the clay, out of the earth. And we're always going to have a body. But the Bible says this corruption will put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality. But we're always going to have a body. And we're always going to be known as we are known. And God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And the body is referred to as a tent that the soul lives in. But it's going to be clothed upon with a building, not made with hands, but by the power of God. There's something about being an individual. There's something about being creative that we make a choice. Even in your lives and in your marriages, out of you, there's all kinds of men and women and all kinds of men in the world and women in the world. But you choose one. And that choice makes your family uniquely different. In order for God to have his needs met, he needed a people that choose him. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, you preacher, I don't understand. Let me explain it to you a little better. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell, he made this statement, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," saying to Satan, "and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." There's coming a day when Satan, you will be put down, and I will be lifted up. And I'm going to use a woman who happened to be Mary in order to accomplish that, because I'm coming there. It's almost like MacArthur said to the Philippines, "I'll be back." And he said, "I'm coming back. I will be there and I will take care of this." So when Adam and Eve's sons, one of them went out and they gathered vegetables and fruits and he put it on an altar and sacrificed it unto God. And the other son went out and he laid a lamb on the altar, because the lamb, God had already told Adam and Eve and showed them and showed their sons that it was a blood sacrifice, because God himself was coming in a human form. He wasn't just an animal. He wasn't just a plant. He wasn't just life, but he was the life, the intelligent life. And he said this in Romans chapter 3. Do we need a Savior? For we have already made the change, the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the charge that are under the power of sin, as it is written. So God is saying, we have already made the charge that the Jews and the Gentiles, even though the Jews are the chosen people of God, they're both under sin. You've both been locked up into this. You're both guilty. You're standing here before the judge, and you are as guilty as you are, even though one of you are Jews. The others are Gentiles. He said, so knowing that, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God and have turned away. They have together became worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is in their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet is swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why God had to come. Man had become so worldly that only the things of the world meant anything to him. They're willing to lie, cheat, and steal because they didn't see that God kept tabs on them. God chose you knowing you were a sinner. Listen to that. God chose you knowing that you would sin. And you needed payment for that sin. So the original promise of Advent was made before anything that we know of today was created. So the promise of God's coming was made to himself. You ever promised yourself something? It's a bit easier to keep than if you promise somebody else. And God said, I'm going to create the world. I know in the world that men are going to be attracted to the things of the world and not the things of me. Man's going to sin. I'm going to show Adam and Eve. I'm going to show their sons, Cain and Abel. And even though Cain offered a sacrifice, even though Cain tried to do good and worked hard bringing his sacrifice in, working hard and being good will not get you to heaven. Jesus Christ will. It was before the foundations of the world, before the creation of the world, that God promised himself as he created this creation and created it in his image that it would be able to make a choice. And when they chose him, he had plans for them. Romans 9:13 has always been a problem for many people. And I'm not going to tell you that I, as a theologian, fully understand it. But it makes this statement in Romans 9, verse 13. Jacob I loved, but Esau have I hated. And most people, when you get together with a group of ministers or you get into a college class and you start discussing that, a lot of hands go up. They say, I have a question. Why did God hate Esau? I was always strange. That wasn't my question. My question is, why did he love Jacob? Jacob was a thief. Jacob was a rogue. Jacob was one that stole his blessing from his dying daddy. He stole sheep from his uncle. Jacob was no good. Why didn't he choose the eldest son of the first wife of Abraham? Why did he choose Jacob instead of Esau when Esau was the firstborn? Because in God's sovereignty, God saw someone that could see who he was in his need of a Savior. And God can't save us until we see that we're a sinner. Till we see that we are tied and bound to this world, and when we see that we are tied and bound to this world, then we can start to look up and see just who Jesus is. God purified Jacob. Many people in church wonder why some people seem to be blessed, happy, joyful, whistling, and why they're in the church and they just seem to be always in trouble, always trying to dig their way out, always trying to make it and never able to make it. And this is what God was saying here about the Jews. He said, you're privileged because of your position, but you'll be blessed because of the position that you give me in your hearts. You can attend this church every day. You can talk good about this church. You can work in this church. You can give money to this church, but that will not save you. You can have a relationship with the church and a relationship with the people of God, but you need a personal relationship with God, and that will change you. That will make a giver out of you. That will make you loving. That will make you unselfish. That's what a Savior will do. Proverbs 13:24 says, and I want to emphasize this about hating and loving. We all love our children, but here's another place where it uses that. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his the rod hateth his son, but he that loves him chastens him. So maybe we think we don't want to discipline our child because we love them too much. God said, let me show you a difference. The difference is, are you going to do what I ask you to do? Or are you going to rely upon your ways? That's the difference in being loved. It isn't being hated. It's being, I hate to use the word, but it's favored. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. There it is again. That's like having a relationship outside of your marriage with someone. You think you can handle that. You think you can control that. You can't, because you can't do it without loving one and hating the other. And those things have a tendency to just come up and blossom and show you. So what God is saying is we need to love him with all our heart, all our might, and all our soul. So before our birth, before Jacob's birth, before he had done any good or evil, God chose him. In Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is not of works. The Bible says in Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said to his disciples, he said, if you do not drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part with me. And the disciples looked at each other and said, that's a hard saying. And many turned away and didn't walk with him anymore. And his disciples stepped back, and Jesus turned around and said, but have I not chosen you? I don't know about you, but when I was a kid in school, I was the littlest kid in my class. That means when you're going to play baseball, when they choose up sides, you're the last one chosen. And it's kind of a default. You can go there. I did get better. But there is nothing like being chose last. Let me tell you something. God chose you first. God chose you before you were born. And he said, I have a plan for your life. And you say, how did God know what I was going to choose? The Navy has been out there for 100-some years. And when I said, yes, I'll join the Navy. Number one, that's total surrender. They had a uniform for me, new clothes. They had the way that I talked to people changed. The way I cut my hair changed. Everything changed because the Navy had a plan for my life. And God has a plan for your life, and he chose you before the foundation of the world. You're first in his book. And he came, and he died, and he rose again that we might see who he is. So the grounds of preference lays entirely on the unconditional choice of God. Ephesians 4:1, therefore, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I entreat you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. Realize if you have a relationship with God, there are some demands that are upon you, and there are people that God has put around you that are watching you so that they can come to Christ. And if we do not live up to that, we are responsible. The Bible says the blood will be upon your hands. Colossians 1:10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. He chose you, he has chosen me, that we might know him, not know about him, not know of him, but personally, intimately know who God is. And he chose you before the foundation of the world. Thus made the promise of the advent of Christ, a promise he made to himself that we reap the benefit of. That's Advent. Do you know if you started yesterday reading the book of Luke and read one chapter a day, by Christmas Day you will know all about who Christ is? So why don't you read two chapters today and get a head start on it? Because the Bible is something that we're going to be emphasizing through the whole year of 2019. Because you need to get to know it to get to know him. Let us stand. That should stir you to praise him and worship him. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we not only see your advent, prepare for it, but understand it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.